Andrew Womack, he said, self provides an inviting beachhead for the devil's invasion plans. It's his preferred landing zone. Glory to God. You know, we've been talking about spiritual warfare, and we've been talking about the thoughts and stuff that we have to deal with, taking thoughts captive. We've been talking about all this, and self is one of the biggest problems that we have. Self is one of the biggest. Self keeps you out of operating in the spirit. Selfishness is one of our biggest hindrances from being close to God. It's one of the biggest problems that we have. It is self. Self gets in the way. So if you will, turn your Bibles to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, starting in verse 16. Says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. That word walk right there, it means to live. Live in the Spirit. It doesn't mean just, you know, just a little path. It means you're going to live in the Spirit. Abide in the Spirit. Make your residence operating in the Spirit. That's what it means. Praise God. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, you can't live in the Spirit and operate in the flesh at the same time. You can't operate in the flesh and live in the Spirit at the same time. You in one or the other. He says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. He said, the Spirit and the flesh are constantly at war. Constantly. Glory to God. So you're either walking in the Spirit or you're walking in the flesh. And sadly, most of us as Christians still walk in the flesh. You know, if you try to deny stuff like that, if you try to, you can deny it to me all you want, but if you deny it to yourself, then that's why you can't get out. That's why you can't walk in the Spirit, because you ain't even willing to admit you got an issue. And it says, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are. Now, so we're going to get a list of things that are signs that you're walking in the flesh. He says, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, which is one we're going to focus on today, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, partying. You know, you're kind of getting in the wrong party. You can party at church, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about those drunken parties. Those, I think in one version it even says orgies. And so he's saying all these things are the flesh. So we can see that selfishness is a fruit of the flesh. And we all operate in selfishness all day long. Selfishness is a sin, folks. It's a sin. Yes, selfishness is a sin. And he says right here that selfishness will keep you from operating in the Spirit. And we wonder so often why things aren't working the way they're supposed to in our life, but we don't never stop to look to see, am I operating in selfishness? And the sad thing is, we do. And you know, a lot of us are very generous. My family is extremely generous. And we do things, we think we're doing things, but what's the motive behind it? See, the thing is, we all want to be recognized more. We want people to think better of us. And there's things that we do a lot of these things so that we can get some recognition and so that people will think more highly of us. So what you did a good thing, but you did it so that people would think more highly of you. So really, what's happening here? I did it for selfish reasons. I didn't do it because I so much as I wanted to be a blessing, because I wanted to bring God glory. I did it. The truth is, I did it because I want to be recognized, because I want people to think that I'm very generous and that I give a lot of my time. You know, it's so nice. I mean, I just can't lie about it, man. You preach a message and you know in your heart that it's a pretty good message. And then people come and say, man, I just need that. And it makes you feel so good. And it's easy to get in the habit of preaching a message and wanting to be recognized for preaching a good message. It's so easy to get up and sing a song. And even though we say, well, you know, I know it ain't that good. And to realize that I did pretty good on that song. And I want everybody to recognize it. And we begin to do things so that we can be recognized and so that we can get a pat on the back. You know what they call it? An attaboy. Like him attaboys. I found that one time that I wanted to go to prison ministry because it was guys were starting, more and more guys was coming, and I was liking the recognition of all these men piling up, and that my service, because it was a bunch of us in this circle of prison ministry, and I was getting more people than the rest of them, and I was, whoo, I want to give me some more prisons. Why? Was it because I was happy about what was happening in them men, or was it because I was getting recognition for being one of the ones at the top? In fact, they started letting me train people to go into prisons, and it was stroking my ego. And so I started off doing it because I wanted to be a blessing, and then I ended up doing it because I wanted my ego stroked. Now look, I'm using for me for an example, but if you stop and think about it, you can find yourself in this corner somewhere. That's why it's going to be a short service. And so we got to start examining why we do what we do. Come on. Because Satan, he's looking for a landing zone. He's looking for a place to settle in. And if he can get in our thought life, if he can get us thinking about ourselves, come on, he can keep us out of the spirit. But see, Jesus was selfless. That's why Jesus operated in the Spirit the way he did. Because he was completely selfless. See, we ain't like that. We wondering why the gifts of the Spirit ain't operating. Why the gifts ain't operating in me like they should. Because I know God has given me a gift. I know that there's things that God's called me to do. Why isn't it operating the way it should? Because my life is full of me. You know, the truth is, I want somebody to stand up, speak in tongues, and God to use me to interpret it, because, man, that'll make me look holy. Everybody will be, ooh. That's why they don't work. That's why the gift of the Spirit ain't operating the way that it should. Because our motives is all jacked up. Oh, praise Jesus. I didn't use none of y'all for examples. Don't be getting all sad face on me and everything. Go to James 3. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but look at what selfishness is, right? It tells you what selfishness is right here. It is earthly, sensual, and demonic. All that selfishness is demonic. That's just straight out of hell. I mean, you know that carnal and earthly is the same thing, worldly. That's what he's saying. All this selfishness is worldly. And in Romans 12, he says, look, don't be conformed to this world, the ways of this world. Don't be acting like this world. Come on now. He said, you're supposed to be different. You're supposed to be, you got to change the way you think, fellas. And then in verse 15 or 16, he says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, where all this selfishness is, look what happens. There's confusion and every evil thing are there. I'm going to tell you something. The divorce is not, the divorce rate's not so high because of money or because of affairs or any. Let me tell you why divorce is high. Let me tell you why divorce exists. Selfishness. That's what causes divorce. Selfishness. And usually it's on everybody's part in the marriage. Sometimes one more than the other, but most of the time it's pretty equal. Everybody's selfish. Come on. You know, as men, and I think I'm going to say it anyhow. As men, we like to you know, build points up. Because if you listen to stuff about marriage and everything, whether secular or through the Christian circle, you'll find out that sex starts in the morning. When you start, you know, start doing nice things in the morning, you got all day long, you got to work up to this. Just being honest, and don't blush on me. And as men, what we do is we start working on tonight, this morning. But let me tell you something. Everything we do is for tonight. So everything we did all day long really was out of selfish motives. Oh, don't look at me like that. I'm just telling you the truth. It's just the best example that comes to my mind. I'm guilty of this. But when we don't get our way, then we're mad. And we ain't doing this no more for a while. What happened? It was all riddled with selfishness. It was complete selfishness from the time we woke up to the rest. Why don't we just do those things just cause? Just cause. And then sometimes we'll get it right. We'll actually do it just cause. But it's somewhere along the line, the devil comes in on that landing strip and he reminds me of all the things that I've done just cause, and I didn't get no reward for it. Come on. Selfishness done creep right back up in here. Oh my God. Ladies, no, don't think you out of this. Come on. I'm just a man, and I know what we do in thinking about this and praying about it. I realize how I'm selfish. Glory to God. So I can't point out all your stuff because I ain't no female. I don't know how it works for y'all. But I know that's how it works for men. And I know if you think about it, you can find how it works for you. Because we all selfish. You know, I looked up selfish and I didn't write. I wish I'd have wrote it down. Praise God. I looked it up in the Webster's. It says, concerned excessively and exclusively with oneself. Seeking or concentrating on one's own advantage, pleasure, or well-being without regards for others. It's arising from concern with one's own welfare or advantage in disregard of others. In other words, selfish is I think about me and what I want all day long. And what you want matters not. That's what selfish is. And I'm pretty sure everybody in here has at least days like that, if not a lifetime of it. Come on. Some people don't care about nothing but getting their way all the time. If you got to have your way 100% of the time, guess what? You're 100% selfish. Come on. If you got to have your way anytime, selfish. Come on. Y'all don't like this, do you? I ain't like it neither. Because, you know, I'll tell you what. I'm not near as selfish as I used to be. But I discovered that I'm still extremely selfish. I can't imagine what it used to be like. Because I'm so much better than I used to be. But after sitting here and examining my motives and why I do what I do, I realized that I'm extremely selfish. And I'm betting I ain't the only one here. Boy, the truth just smacks you right around, knocks you in the nose, and hallelujah. Y'all come back. I ain't going to hit you like this. Well, maybe I will. Go to Romans 15, and we're going to read this in the New Living. Romans 15. Starting in verse 1, this is how the New Living says, we who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. And he just got through talking about eating food, you know, eating different things that is offensive to other people. And, you know, in other words, you got to consider everybody else around you. You know, you don't want to do something that it's all right for me to do it, but it causes somebody else to stumble. How many of you know that drinking may not be a sin, it's a stumbling block? But for some people, it's a major ordeal. And if they see you as a Christian and you're drinking, then it could cause them problems. It's not that you're going to go to hell for it. It's that it could cause other people problems. He says, so we got to be sensitive about these things. He said, we must not just please ourselves. It ain't about you. He said, we should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. It means it's going to cost you some sacrifice. Come on. You're not always going to get to do what you want to do. It's hard in my family to find out where we're going to eat at. It is a, man, it's a chore. If you a man, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Ask your wife what she wants to eat. I don't care. Just whatever you want. Oh, how about we go over here? No, I don't eat there. Well, where you want to go? It don't matter. You just pick a place. Well, how about we eat Mexican? I don't want to eat Mexican. What did you pick a place? I don't want to pick a place. Just go wherever you want. Don't matter. Well, all right. I'd like to eat over there. I don't want to eat there. I don't like. They got nothing I want to eat today. Well, where do you want to eat? It don't matter. Just anywhere you want to go. I done named every place I like. Come on. It's like that in our family. But how many of you know that we're supposed to be whatever you want? It might make it a little confusing when nobody wants to decide. But you know what? When one person takes the liberty of deciding, I try to think, when Jackie says, where do you want to eat? I try to think of all the places I think she wants to eat. Now, unfortunately, it changes. And what was her favorite place last week, she can't stand this week. Glory to God. Because used to, I would have just drove right on up to Popeye's. We'd have had fried chicken, and that's that. Glory to God. We don't eat at Popeye's no more. But the point is, selfishness, we care more about the other people than we do about ourselves. It's always going to be some sacrifice. I was asked at a life group one time, we started a marriage study, and they said, give me one word that describes marriage. And my word was sacrifice. Because that's exactly what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be that I sacrifice. It's no longer I. Come on. It's all about you. And it needs to be like that in every relationship. Not just in marriage. It should be like that in every relationship. In my relationship with Mike, I should be more concerned about Mike than I am about myself. Come on. That's how Jesus operated. That's exactly what Jesus did. He made it more about us than about him. And he expects us to do the same with each other. See, we got Jesus. I'm going to break it down. Let me give you two commandments. I'll sum everything up, guys. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. Let God's will be done in your life and give yourself up for others. That's what he's saying. Glory to God. He says, for even Christ didn't live to please himself, as the scriptures say, the insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us, and the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. Verse 5 says, may God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other. Come on. Listen, we wouldn't be having divorce if people was living in harmony. We'd still be friends with the same people we've been friends with. Every time we'd get a new friend, they'd still be our friend. It'd be lifelong friendships. Now, that doesn't mean that you're fellowshipping every day. You can be friends with somebody, and the time span of not seeing each other is like it was never there. Glory to God. I'm not talking about you. Everybody you've ever been friends with, you see them every day, but you'll never part friendship because of hurt feelings. Why? Because you're living in harmony with each other. You've always put them first. They've always put you first. Now, look, if you're sitting here saying, well, I put them first all the time, they don't ever put me first, because you're selfish. You wouldn't even recognize it if selfishness hadn't creeped up in there. Glory to God. I do that with Jackie all the time. I give that girl, I do all these, man, I break my back for her. She don't do nothing for me. What's wrong? Selfishness. Come on. I give her a list of all the things I've done for her today. I took that dog. I didn't even want that stinking dog, Brandy. seems like I got the dog. Oh, that dog. forgive me, Lord. I'm supposed to be getting over this, and I'm right off in the middle of it. He says, hey, let's go on to the scripture here. He says, then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, therefore, accept each other just as Christ. Accept each other. That dog would be all right. Accept each other as Christ has accepted you so that God will be given glory. You see, Christ lived his life to bring God glory. Everything, every minute of every day was spent to give God glory. And we're supposed to be Christ-like. And when we call ourselves a Christian, that's what it is. We're supposed to be Christ-like, which means we're supposed to be thinking about everybody else like Christ did more than we do ourselves. In other words, I'm not even important. From my estimation, and from my viewpoint, I don't even matter. You matter. You matter more than anything else. I'm willing to Jesus said, he said, there's no greater love than for one to lay down his life for another. The greatest love ever is when you say, I don't matter, but you do. Go to Philippians. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. He says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, he said, if you're going to operate in the Spirit, if you're going to be fellowshipping with the Spirit of God, if there are any affection and mercy, verse 2, says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. He said, come on, if there's any fellowship in the Spirit, you're going to be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing means nothing. Come on. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. How many know that's a commandment? This is not friendly suggestions. It's a commandment. Glory to God. He says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. He said Christ, who was equal with God, became like a man. He lowered himself. He didn't do it for him. He did it for you. Jesus became a man for you. He's sitting in the heavens. Everything was created for him, through him, by him, and he became a man. He lowered himself. He came to this earth. He operated in this earth. Everything he did was for you and to glorify God. He did nothing for himself. And boy, we don't get our way the slightest little thing. And we all up in a tizzy, all mad about it, canceling friendships, getting divorces. Come on, won't speak to people. If you got somebody in your life you refuse to speak to because you're selfish. I got people in my life I don't want to see to, but it's only because I'm selfish. I'm not pointing out nothing on you. I'm trying to let you know that what's going on inside of you is selfishness. And if you don't get rid of it, you can't fellowship in the Spirit. You can't fellowship with God the way that you're supposed to. You can't walk in the Spirit. You can't operate in the Spirit because you got too much selfishness in the way. You wondering why you got all these problems in your life? Because you're selfish. All sin starts off in selfishness, because it's all about me. It's what I want. It's what pleases me.
Second Timothy, chapter 3, verse 1.
How many of y'all been on a trip? You went somewhere? Y'all stay home a lot, huh? Why, 4 people left the house. How'd y'all get here? Okay. Yeah, you know when you go somewhere and you look and you're going, we like to go to Tennessee and everything, and I watch the road signs and it tells you so long till Meridian or whatever. You know, we go through Meridian, and you got road signs all along the way, the whole way you're going, and then when you get to Pigeon Forge, there's a big sign that says, "Welcome to Pigeon Forge." Huh? That's the way this is right here. Paul fishing to give you some signs right here. Hallelujah. He said, but know this, that in the last days, come on, we headed to the last days. How many of y'all know that? We moving on toward the last days. Praise God. Well, I think we're there. But anyhow, he says, the perilous times will come. And here's the road signs. Here we go. He said, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. There's all the road signs. Glory to God. Notice the first one. That's that first one. Lovers of themselves. Folks, we there. Yeah, all these other ones fall under that one. Lovers of themselves. Now, go on to the next verse, I think it's where I want to be. Go to verse 4. It says, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Look at verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. He said, this is even going to be in the church. Even people, even Christian folk, going to be lovers of themselves. In other words, I want what I want, and I don't care what it takes to get it. It's all about me. I'm going to tell you something. When our biggest part of the gospel is to prosper our finances, we have fell right off into the trap of lovers of themselves. Why you want all that money? I'm going to tell you something. Most people who are trying to prosper in the church and through the gospel and by giving and getting and this and that, it's not so that they can give more money to get people saved and to help poor folks. It's so that they can get a nicer car, a bigger house, boat, truck, four-wheeler, shopping in New York. I'll get to go to New York and shop on Fifth Avenue, whatever it is. I notice a lot of people prospering in the church. And I believe that God wants us to prosper. But I think he wants us to prosper for the kingdom. Come on. I don't think God has no problem with you shopping on Fifth Avenue, ladies. I don't think he had no problem at all with it. I don't think he got no problem with you having a four-wheeler, guys. I don't think he got no problem with you having a real nice gun. Or I don't think he got a problem with you living in a house. But is that where all your prosperity, is that your intent on prospering is so that you can have all those things for yourself? Or is your intent to prosper so that you can give more to the kingdom of God? So that you can do more? Not that I should get a pat on the back or anything, but I heard this on the radio. I listened to Focus on the Family and lots of things like that during the week. And this couple was on there and they was talking about in their neighborhood. They were pastors, and they lived in this neighborhood, and they had a part of their house that was unlocked and open all the time so that people could come in and fellowship. And there was always, like, food available and coffee and drinks and stuff, but there was always somebody there studying the Word. There was always an open Bible on the table. And when I heard that, it's like, man, I'd like to have something like that. I'd like to have a place where people could just come in, get them a cup of coffee, and let's sit down and talk about the Word. Even if it's only for 10 minutes. And then somebody else make it. But so that some, just, see, that right there, I think God honors thoughts like that. I think he honors those desires. I think that's pleasing to him, and I think that brings him glory. But if all I wanted was a bigger house so that me and my family could live in a bigger house, how would that possibly bring God glory? How does that honor God? Because when I run out there and there's kids on my path crossing through, never mind. Hang on, that's a long time ago. When kids cross over the property, get off my land. You go by up there, their little trail, you buy some property. They used to cut from school to their house through there. They can't cut through there no more. You a big Christian. you brought you a big spread. People can't come across your property. You ain't never invite nobody over. You. Pastor ain't never been to your house to eat. Hint. I'm joking. Come on now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me move on before I get carried away. I am hungry, though. Praise God. I think we moving up to James chapter 4. I got this in the Amplified, James chapter 4, verse 3. We've heard this scripture a lot. You know, he says, you have not because you ask not, right before this right here. Hallelujah. And then right here, this is in the Amplified, and it's got a whole lot more description there. And it says, or you do ask God for them. You're asking God for something. He said, and yet fail to receive because you ask with wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives. Your intention is, when you get what you desire, to spend it on sensual pleasures. In other words, I'm asking God for a bunch of stuff. But the truth is, I'm asking so I can have more stuff and so I can do what I want to do so that I can enjoy life. You know, a lot of people working, saving, you know, pinching pennies and everything so that they can retire and go spend all everything they built up on themselves enjoying life. But the truth is, when you get saved, you become a child of God. You in the family business, you don't really get to retire. You may retire from your secular job, but it's so that you can do more for the kingdom. You know, the sad thing is, you can ask 50 people, why do you go to church where you go to church? And you're going to get answers like, well, I really like the worship service there. Man, they have a great worship service. Or, I like the preacher. Or, I got a lot of friends that go there. Or, my family goes there. Or, it's the closest one to me. And that all those are the wrong answer. See, all those are selfish reasons. Every single one of those. Here's why you go to church where you go to church. Because it's where God called me to go and serve. That's why I go to church. That's the answer. Because God sent me there. God told me to go there and he told me to serve. See, a lot of people come to church to get fed. But see, that's another selfish thing. Oh, the pastor feeds us well there. Well, you're selfish. I mean, first off, if you ain't just been born again, just been saved, you should be feeding yourself. No, if you come in here wanting to be fed, I'll give you some scriptures and stuff, but it ain't no good. See, you can't chew that up because you ain't been feeding yourself. You ain't growing. And Paul said, you still sucking on the bottle. I still got to give you milk because you ain't ready for solid food. Why? Because you ain't been feeding yourself and you expected me to feed you. Now, you should get something every time you come to church. You should get some confirmation. Some for something you've been studying. You should get some revelation on something that you need revelation on. You should get some correction. You should get some direction. You should get something when you come to church. But you don't come to church to get something. You come to church because that's where God called you to go and because you're going there to serve. See, I said this morning, 20% of the people does 100% of the work. And that ain't right. That's because 80% of the people ain't thought about nothing but themselves. It's hard facts, but it's just that's the way it is. Ah, man, I'm digging a deep hole here. Oh, well, praise God. I live in a hole. Hallelujah. Praise you. Go to Matthew 16, and we'll try to stop the bleeding. Matthew 16, we're going to start in verse 21. This is where my study started. This is where we're going to end the service at. Hallelujah. Says, verse 21 says, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Jesus is saying, listen, guys, here's the purpose of me being here. It's for you, and it's going to cost me some suffering. I'm going to have to go through some stuff here, but it's okay because I came here for you. Come on, that's what he's saying. Glory to God. He says, and then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Peter sounds like he's being real protective and he's watching over for the Lord. But that ain't the case. That's not Peter's motive here. Peter has found the Messiah. And in Peter's mind and the rest of the Israelites' mind, the Messiah has come to deliver them from the Roman rule and stuff, to set up the kingdom of God in Israel and to take back over. And so, come on now, I'm supposed to be ruling and reigning with you. You dying don't fit my plan. It wasn't about Jesus. It was about Peter. That's why Jesus says, he said in verse 23, he said, but he turned and said to Peter, get behind me. Get behind me, Satan. Don't call your wife. Don't ever turn this and tell your wife this. Kyle, don't do it, son. Don't do it. I'm telling you. I'm trying to protect you, son. Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. You ain't thinking about God's plan. You're thinking about man's plan. See, man had this vision of how Jesus was the Messiah is going to come and he's going to take back over. And that ain't what it's about. Well, the Messiah came to suffer so that we could be part of the kingdom of God. Come on now. Peter wasn't thinking about everybody else. Peter was thinking about Peter. Come on now. Me and you, Lord, we tight. Now, you done called me up. I know you got a plan for me because you done let me get involved in everything you was doing. I'm one of the three main ones, so it must mean that I'm sitting at the top of all this. Glory to God. Lord, don't be dying on me. You messing up my plans. Oh my goodness. And then look at Jesus. Jesus, he gonna call everybody. Look, come on, guys. I see what's happening. Y'all see how Peter's thinking? Let me give you some advice here. Let me help everybody out right here. He says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, glory to God, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Get rid of all that selfishness. He said, come on, if you want to reside with me, if you want to hang out with me, if you want to be one of mine, then here's what's got to happen. You're going to have to give up all your selfish ways. You got to quit thinking about you. He said, you got to take up your cross. That sign of the cross, in Jesus' day, if anybody was carrying a cross, I mean, they was going to death. They was going up to the hill to be crucified. They was going up. Their death warrant had been signed, and it was over with for them. And so when he said, take up your cross, he said, that means you got to die to self. It's no longer, you don't even exist no more. That's why Paul said, I was crucified with Christ Jesus. It's not I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. This life that I live by faith in the Son of God. Everything I do from here out is all about the kingdom. Anything I do outside of that is selfishness. That doesn't mean you have to know all the scriptures. It means that when you see Marty, you're concerned about what's going on in Marty's life. How can I help Marty? That's kingdom business, folks. When I see D, I need to know how can I help D? What can I do for D? Is there anything I can do for D? That means you're going to have to be inconvenienced. There'll be some sacrifice has to take place. Can't be about you no more. You need to find out, how can I serve solid ground? Pastor ain't told me. I ain't got to tell you everything. What can you do? How can you fit in? If God sent you here, he sent you here for a purpose. Lord, what am I supposed to do? My wife cooks. Oh, my goodness. She can make shoe leather taste good. One time she put a little too much salt in the pork, and that was the only time she ever done anything wrong when she was cooking that I know of. And I like salty stuff, so it worked out good for me. I complained one time about some stuff she fixed, and I found out, don't ever do that again. And she didn't say nothing to me. It wasn't her. It's that after I got to, I complained about it, I started eating. It's like, man, this is the best thing I ever eat in my life. So I ain't never going to complain about her food again. But she has this ability and this talent to cook. And used to, well, she'd cook for the whole church if she had an opportunity. Cook gumbo one time or twice. One time for over 300 people. She used to just cook just for the fun of it and invite the staff over just to come eat. Come on. But then she got hurt in church and she quit doing that. But that was her passion. See, God sent us to that place, and He gave her a purpose. And she fulfilled that. And when she was cooking, oh man, you could tell she was happy. When she was just out the blue, man. Just she'd start cooking before she even invited them. She'd cook up a big mess of stuff and start calling the staff. Say, look, whenever y'all get your lunch break, come on over here. She'd even fix them to-go plates. She liked it so much that even when they hurt her, she would put to-go plates in the mailbox for them so they could stop and pick it up out the mailbox because they was ashamed to come to our house. But the point is, the pastor didn't have to tell her to do it. This was what God sent us to do. It's something that was on her heart, and she fulfilled it. She wasn't thinking about Jackie. At least I don't think she was. You got a purpose here. Why are you here? I don't want to run nobody off. I really don't. I'm really hoping that we keep growing. But if God didn't send you here, then you're in the wrong place. I want you to be in the right place. I would rather you leave from here and be in the right place, doing what God called you to do, rather than sit here and be in the wrong place. Come on. It ain't that I want to lose people. But I want you to fulfill the plan of God. See, it'd be real selfish of me to say, I want you to stay here so that I can have more people. I want you to be where God called you to be. He says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. If you want to find life, give up that selfishness. And you'll find true life. You see, you're breathing. Your heart's beating. But if you still living for you, you still haven't found the life that God has for you. He said, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father and with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. I'm going to tell you something. There's no reward for selfish. Selfishness does not reap a reward. It reaps a penalty. How many of y'all want a reward when Jesus is revealed? When Jesus comes back, how many of you want a reward? I do. I want to hear, well done. But I'm not going to hear that if I don't learn to get rid of this selfishness. Selfishness is a spirit. I try to. I don't do it every day, but most days, I, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of selfishness from me. I bind that spirit. And as I go, I know, like I said, I'm a lot better than I was, but I still got a long ways to go. I'm less selfish with you than I am at my home. At home, I've learned to be very selfish. I'm just be honest. I'm selfish when it comes to my family and stuff. I expect more out of them. It's easier with you, I guess, because I don't expect much. I need to get like that. It's not that, you know, you don't have much to give. It's just that I find it where I don't put pressure on. I don't feel the need to pressure you. I shouldn't feel the need to pressure my wife or my kids, but I do. That's because, like I said, I got a long ways to go. But I'm hoping after today I get better. Glory to God. I'm hoping it starts a healing process. That starts something inside of me that needs to grow. I'm hoping it sparks something inside of you. You know, if you sat there and you was thinking about, I hope he gets this. I hope she heard what he said. Then you missed the whole thing. Because all that selfishness was up in your way.